he should die. It is college. And cut it into little stars. He will make the face of heaven so high that all the world will be in love with night. These beautiful words from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet so eloquently describe the radiant light of Jane's dream. At the end of the stage of history, just 38 years ago, and in the brief years that he was privileged to act on this mortal stage, he played his part exceedingly well. James Reed was honored in the Judeo-Christian faith that all men love. His death was a result of a sensitive religious spirit. His crime was that he dared to live his faith, placed himself alongside the disinherited black brethren of this community. The world is aroused over the murder of James Reed. For he symbolizes the forces of goodwill in our nation. He demonstrated the conscience of the nation. He was an attorney for the defense of the innocent in the court of world defense. He was a witness to the truth that men of different races and classes might live, eat, and work together in trouble. James Reed could not be accused of being only concerned about justice for Negroes away from home. He and his family lived in Roxburgh, Massachusetts, predominantly Negro community. Devoted their lives to aiding families in low-income housing areas. And we must ask the question, why must good men die for doing good? Oh, Jerusalem, why did you murder the prophets and persecute those who come to preach your salvation? So the Reverend James Reed has something to say to all of us in his death. Naturally, we are compelled to ask the question, who killed James Reed? The answer is simple and broader than it is. When we think of it, he was murdered by a few sick, demented, and misguided men who have the strange notion that you express dissent to murder. That is another haunting one in this question we are forced to ask this afternoon. I asked a few days ago as we generalized James Jackson. It is the question, what killed James Reed? When we move from the who to the what, the blame is wide and the responsibility broad. James Reed was murdered by the indifference of every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the state security of stained glass windows. serve as a tail like brothers on a pit knife. That old brother had been a boy. He was murdered by the irresponsibility of every politician. He was moved down the path of demagoguery, who has fed his constituents the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. Was murdered by the brutality of every sheriff and law enforcement who practices lawlessness in the name of law. He was murdered by the community of a federal government that could spend millions of dollars a day to keep troops in South Vietnam, yet did not protect the lives of its own citizens, seeking constitutional rights. Yes, he was even murdered by the cowardice of every Negro who candidly accepts the evil system of segregation, stands on the sidelines in the midst of a mighty struggle for justice. So in his death, Jane Reed says something to each of us, black and white alike. Says to be the substitute courage for fortune. Says to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered him, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy of which produced the murder. His death says to us that we must work passionately, unrelenting, to make the American dream a reality. So he did not die in vain. God still has a way of bringing good out of evil. History has proven over and over again that American suffering is redemption. Yes, the blood of this fine servant of God may well serve as a redemptive force that will bring new life to this dark state. This tragic death may lead our nation to substitute an aristocracy of character for an aristocracy of color. James Reed may cause the whole citizenry of Alabama transform the negative extremes of a dark hand into the positive extremes of a bright future. Lead this tragic event, they call the White South to come to terms with this country. So in spite of the darkness of this hour, we must not despair. Senior speakers have said so eloquently, we must not become bitter, nor must we follow the desire to retaliate with fire. We must not lose faith in our white brothers who happen to be misguided. Somehow we must still believe that the most misguided among us learn to respect the dignity and worth all human personality. I know our heart, all of the sympathy that we can muster go out to Mrs. Reed and the children. This is the second time within the last 2 weeks I've had to stand in this seat in the Black Belt of Alabama. Eulogized individuals who have been proven in birth. It is never an easy experience. In these difficult moments, one searches for words of consolation for the family and friends. All of us, as we go on in the days ahead, I said it is almost impossible to say anything that can comes the disappointment. When y'all floating in our middle sky. And I hope that we can find a little consolation from the universality of this experience. Death comes to every individual. That is an amazing democracy about death. It is not an aristocracy for some of the people, but a democracy for all of them. Kings die and beggars die. Rich men die and poor men die. Merchants die and maids die. Old people die and young people die. Death comes to the innocent, comes to the guilty. Death is the irreducible common denominator. All men. I hope we can also find some consolation. The great affirmation to religion tell us that death is not the end. Whether we call it immortality of influence, whether we think of it the immortality in terms of continued personal existence. Somewhere there is something in our faith reminds us that death is not a period which ends this great sentence of life, but a comma that punctuates it to more loftier significance. Death is not a flying alley that leads the human race into a state of nothingness. An open door which leads men into life eternal. Let this daring faith, this great invincible surmise, be our sustaining power during these trying days. Times life is hard, as hard as crucible steel, and has its deep and painful moments, like the ever-flowing waters of the river. Life has its moments of drought and its moments of flood, like the ever-changing cycle of the sea. Life has the soothing warmth of its summer, the piercing chill of its winter. Through it all, God walks with us. Never forget that God is able to lift us from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. Transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths in a peace. One day the history of this great period of social change will be written in all of its completeness. On that bright day, our nation will recognize this real hero. There will be thousands of dedicated men and women with a noble sense of purpose, enabled them to face jeering and hostile mobs, with the agonizing loneliness that characterizes the life of a time. They will be faced as anonymous, relentless young people, black and white, who have temporarily left behind the powers of learning to storm the barricades of violence. They will be old and oppressed, badly woven, symbolized in a 72-year-old Negro woman in Montgomery, Alabama, who rose up with a sense of dignity and with her people, decided not to ride the segregated buses, who responded with ungrammatical profundity to one who inquired about her weariness. My feet is tired, but my soul is resting. They will be ministers of the gospel, priests, rabbis, and nuns, who are willing to march for freedom, go to jail for conscience sake. One day the South will know. When these dedicated children of God courageously protested segregation, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream, standing up for the most sacred values in our Judeo-Christian heritage. nation passed its own great realms of democracy, which were thus beat by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And this glorious story is written in the name of James Reed, who stands as a shining example of manhood at its best. So I can say to you this afternoon, my friends, that in spite of the tensions and uncertainties of this period, something profoundly meaningful has taken place. Old systems of exploitation and oppression are passing away. Out of the wounds of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being formed. Doors of opportunity are gradually being opened, those at the bottom of society. Shirtless and barefoot people of the land are developing a new sense of somebody's, carving a tunnel of hope through the dark mountain of despair. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Here and there, an individual, a group, dares to love, rises to the majestic heights of moral maturity. Therefore, I am not yet discouraged about the future. Granted, the easy-going optimism of yesteryears is possible. Granted, those who pioneered in the struggle for peace and freedom will still face uncomfortable jail terms, painful threats of death. They will still be battered by the storms of persecution, leading men to the nagging feeling that they can no longer bear such a heavy burden, the temptation of wanting to retreat to a more quiet and serene life. Granted that we face a world crisis, leaves us standing so often amid the surging murmur of life's restlessness. But every crisis has both its dangers and its opportunities. The spell either salvation or doom. In a now confused world, the kingdom of God may yet reign in the hearts of men. I say in conclusion, the greatest tribute that we can pay to James Reed this afternoon. Continue the work he so nobly started. Not finished because his life, like the Schubert section, cut off at an early age. We have the challenge and job to continue. We must work right here in Alabama, all over the United States. The men everywhere will respect the dignity and worth of human personality. We must work with all our hearts, establish a society where men will be, that out of one blood, God made all men to dwell upon the face of earth. We must work with determination for that great day. Justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. We must work right here, till every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, the crooked places straight. Glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. We must work to make the Declaration of Independence real in our everyday lives. We will do this. We will be able right here in Alabama, right here in the Beaver, right here in the United States, transform the jangling discords of our nation to a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. We will be able to speed up the day, and all of God's children have expressed so beautifully in this marvelous ecumenical service. All of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, be able to join hands in unity and brotherhood. bring about the bright day of the brotherhood of man under the guidance of the fatherhood of God. So we thank God for the light James reads. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God that he was willing to lay down his life in order to redeem the soul of our nation. So I say, Horatio said as he stood over the dead body of Hamlet, good night, sweet friends. May the flight of angels take thee to thy